striking down Section 3 of DOMA, the court ensures that married gay and lesbian couples are fully recognized by their government, that they and their children benefit from the host of rights and opportunities designed to strengthen and protect American families. So it's about civil rights. It's about providing for equal opportunity in our society, certainly for married couples living in states that do not recognize their marriages. However, there's still uncertainty, and so the federal government must ensure that these couples receive the federal recognition and respect that they deserve. So I would urge the administration to provide clarity to these couples and take every possible step to ensure that they receive fair treatment. And hopefully Congress will be willing to work with the president. I'm committed to working with our leader to make certain that that happens.
So let's get to climate change now. Yesterday at Georgetown, the president said scientists have concurred that the Earth is warming and that human activity contributes to it. The speech has been heralded by some as some of his strongest statements yet on the need to address climate change. What was your take on the president yesterday?
Well, I thought it was a very forceful message. I thought it was one that was very deliberate, very detailed, and one that is serious about responding to what everyone now, or most people, I should say, recognize is of crisis proportions. Certainly the carbon emissions that are impacting climate change and the stewardship of our planet are all required here. It's a moral imperative, and it's important for us to make certain that the youngest of generations with us today and those yet unborn are addressed in a way that provides for cleaner air for them and a better outcome in the ecosystem.
Now, the president also spoke about the Keystone XL pipeline project, and this is a debate that's been going on for some time now, and he said that allowing the pipeline to be built would require studies to find out whether or not it would be in our best interest and whether or not it would contribute to climate change. What's your take on the Keystone XL and the president's new stance here?
Well, I think that certainly we can ill afford to encourage fossil-based situations because they are adding to the carbon buildup, and we have to think outside the barrel. I think the president is right in his assessment that we need to determine what the impact is on carbon emission. Much of the discussion yesterday was about providing the focus in a very discriminatory way that enables us to rid these dangerous emissions from the environment. You know, we do that with sulfur, and we do it with mercury. We do it with arsenic, and for some reason have not done it with carbon. And it's important for us to see this as an agenda that grows jobs. As we strengthen the planet, we can strengthen our economy, and we can certainly strengthen our children.
New York, of course, borders Canada, and not your district, but certainly those in the delegation. Are you hearing any concerns about the going forward with the rhetoric that's kind of built up over this project between the U.S. and Canada, that it may strain relations, whether it be trade or other policies?
I haven't heard that much rhetoric about it. I think what we need to do, though, is understand that there are many dynamics associated here, but the one that should drive the discussion on facts and merit is, in fact, the Keystone Pipeline as it relates to sound stewardship of our environment, making certain that we're not further polluting and going forward with opportunities that enable us to respond to our energy needs. And I think that those should be the litmus tests for this project and any that are put before us.
Now, there's a saying I've heard by some people in reference to climate change and global warming that, you know, people don't think about these issues until they walk outside one morning and their dog catches fire. Do you think that the extreme weather that has pummeled the region, notably in our area, Hurricanes Irene and Sandy, has had any effect on the sense of urgency as was expressed by the president yesterday?
I think absolutely that has filtered into the general thinking of the public. I think that most people now, when they see these extreme weather patterns, be they hurricanes, windstorms, tornadoes, tropical storms that are atypical to the northeastern New York region, it starts to enter into their thought process and to their assessment of the situation. And, you know, there are many that would suggest 2017 is a threshold year, perhaps as late as 2020. But that does give us precious little time by which to begin to address the issues of that are very complex, the issues of carbon emission and global warming. You know, I agree with the president's assessment, and actually is a good analogy, talking about putting the brakes on the car. And it's not going to end things overnight, but putting those brakes on slow us down so that we eventually stop and put the car in reverse. You know, that's where we're at, and we have to move accordingly so that we are responding to the moral agenda of addressing our youngest generations so that they can be protected from the impact and the health hazards and all that are associated with global warming, and to see this as a way to grow jobs. I mean, the technologies that are required here, the retrofits, the research and development stages, the maintenance efforts, the installation, the engineering wizardry that is required to come up with some of the complex retrofits. There are jobs from PhDs over to the trades, and that will grow a lot of opportunity as we grow energy independence and self-sufficiency and provide a kinder outcome to greening up our earth and absolutely being kinder to our children.
Now, what are the next steps? Is there anything that wasn't mentioned by the president that you think needs to be addressed? It sounds like you just said there's a definite education component here to making sure these technologies are implemented.
Well, I think, you know, obviously some of the things work best and most expeditiously if they're done with the hand of Congress. The president did extend that opportunity the way of the House and the United States Senate, and it's my hope that Congress will work to bolster these efforts by passing meaningful legislation that ensures a more stable environment for our children and enables for a better workable solution. However, if that doesn't happen, there are ways to work with the states, I believe. The states have a lot of stewardship over their utility policy, over their generation of supplies needed. Remember, this is about creating cleaner supplies of energy, wiser use of energy, no waste of energy, and putting together the infrastructure that deals with all these elements. He can work out strategies with the states, the individual states. And I think that will be a partnership that is fostered also so as to move forward in a way that enables us to lead by example. He will also call upon the federal government to implement many of these changes so that we can show ourselves as a federal government embracing the same issues that we're asking all of America to adopt.
Now, you just mentioned the local level, but of course there is a global component to this. Do you see any type of hang-ups with getting legislation introduced and passed through Congress with legislators that may say, why should we have these type of limits if developing countries such as India or China don't have limits on their carbon emissions or aren't pushing for them?
Right. This is going to take a global solution because it's a global problem. But I think we can lead that effort in showing that it creates jobs, it creates benefits, it creates healthier outcomes. And, you know, I think the onus falls upon a nation as strong in its economic impact, as strong in its leadership that has been respected out there in the international scene, to do just this, to encourage them to come along. This is us showing by example that we're willing to do this. We're calling upon the leadership qualities of the various heads of countries to come to the table and act likewise, act accordingly. I think there are those out there that don't want to formulate the change, to design our future, and rather just hold to the past and status quo, where in fact some of this inaction would be very dangerous. They're suggesting that it would be a job killer performance and that it would hurt our industries and businesses. You know, I think when we look at our history, and we look at the leadership that we have dealt with, the business community has always stepped up to the plate and done, you know, a remarkable job in responding to challenges. The 20th Congressional District that I represent is in large part the donor area to the Erie Canal system that inspired a westward movement and that gave birth to an industrial revolution. And the necklace of communities that resulted from the construction of the canal, which were dubbed the mill towns, became epicenters of invention and innovation. And, you know, it's within our DNA, it's our pioneer spirit as a country to respond to challenges and get things done. I firmly believe that the ingenuity rests within those walls of business and industry. And I know that they will respond to this challenge. I know they can make it work. And that's the American spirit. And we see it alive and well all the time. And this is a way to grow our energy independence, our self-sufficiency, and allow us to wean off that gluttonous dependency, which has brought us into situations where we're paying for both ends of a war. So it's time for us to think smart, think outside the barrel, and move forward and be a strengthener to the economy and a strengthener to our children.